Tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, thanks. Consumer Guide Automotive, consumerguide.com. All sorts of new car, used car, and car shopping information at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with all the car news. That's our blog, the cgdailydrive.com blog. We go into depth on drive reports there. We do all sorts of lists of old cars. We look at old ads, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun.
Cool, very cool. And you you are very knowledgeable and are able to answer most of the, if, probably all of the car and automotive related questions from our listeners.
I try, yeah.
You know, you do a great job, Tom.
Thank you.
Again, those questions, keep them coming in. Text or talk at 312-981-7200. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Got a lot to talk about. We got car news. We got some blog related stuff that Tom wrote about. And we got your questions as well with Tom. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, that Bob Roorman likes to laugh, huh? Dan, you ever notice that he's laughing all the time in his commercials? All the time, he's the happiest guy in the world, Bob Roorman.
You know, the outtakes are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I know. That's my favorite commercial, all the outtakes, where it's just Bob Roorman laughing for 60 minutes. It's an hour of Bob Roorman laughing. welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN Tuesday morning. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Yeah. You get your request in now, 312-981-7200. That's the same number to talk and text right now with your car and automotive-related questions. It's our monthly visit from the great Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and contributor to Daily Drive blog. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. And we welcome Tom back. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, we want to talk a little bit about the changes in the newsletter for the Consumer Guide.
Oh, yeah. I've been sending out a weekly email blast. It's on Tuesday mornings, just letting people know what we've published in the last week. And as producer Dan has noted, I'm sort of updating that to include listeners as well, listeners, readers, and just the general public. And anyone who wants to get on board, they can just contact me through either of the websites, the Contact Me spot, and they can literally just put sign me up, and I will add them to the email list.
Oh, great. Okay. We'll remind everybody before you leave again about that.
We'll do, thanks.
So cool. And also, you guys are going to announce your best buys on December 5th, correct?
That is correct, yeah. We're going to send out an actual press release that's going to go out, I think, 9 a.m. Central Time on December 5th.
Okay, cool. And then we'll talk about that the next time on your December visit.
Yep, cool.
Outstanding. All right, Tom, let's get to some of the news stories here. We already got texts coming in. If you guys want to call any and all car-related questions, 312-981-7200. Let's talk about this Takata recall. It's moving really slowly. Give us some details on that.
Yeah, what's really slow, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past, is that Takata simply cannot crank out replacement airbags fast enough. So cars are just queued up. And as we've discussed before, this is something you have to get fixed, although the odds of anything bad happening to you with a Takata airbag are very, very low. Mm. It's just that there is an actual problem there that has to be fixed. But the numbers are crazy, and I looked something up. But the government generally expects that 75% of all vehicles affected by a recall are repaired within 18 months. That's the typical number. Right now, of the years we've been talking about this Takata airbag recall, they have fixed 18.5 million of the 43.1 million vehicles. Yeah, so it's just really going slow.
And I'm looking at this, at the numbers here. It's only 43% of the faulty parts have been replaced. And it's been underway for more than 15 years.
Yes. Well, the bags have been defective for 15 years. The actual active recalls don't go back quite that far.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's ridiculous how long this is taking to fix.
And it's just because it's too much for them to handle.
Right. Takata is replacing the airbags themselves, and no one else wants to get on board and do this. No one wants to replace these airbags, especially because there is a chance they haven't found the problem. They're simply replacing these with newer, better airbags.
I see.
It's really a dicey situation.
Now, normally a recall of this size, I mean, obviously it depends on what the problem is, but what's the average length that a recall takes? And I know that's kind of a vague question because it depends on what the problem is for sure.
Yeah, it should be 75% handled in a year and a half.
And that's the way it should be, no matter what the issue is.
Yes, and then if it's not, the government usually steps in, and there are penalties involved. In this case, the government is not issuing penalties because they're aware that these bags are being produced as quickly as possible.
Mm, okay, and keeping an eye on that. I'm sure we'll keep an eye on that for some time to come, Tom.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple of texts here before we break for the news here. Let's see if we can help some people out. 773 area code says, I'm looking to buy a used car, but it has a previous owner that was a chain smoker. Is there a way to get rid of that smell that's been permeated everything inside?
Oh, man. The short answer is not really. You can get the car detailed with a shampoo and in seat conditioning, and that can help a lot. If the interior is cloth or fabric, it's worse. Usually leather's a little bit easier. But the short answer is it can take forever.
Oh, my God. Stale smoke, my God. What year would this car be? Because cars don't come with ashtrays anymore, right?
There's something there. You have to pay extra now to actually get the ashtray. Otherwise, it's just a little change area.
Right. Okay. But you can get an ashtray in your car.
You can. It's usually part of something called a smoker kit. That's like $30.
Wait a minute. What? Explain to me what a smoker kit is besides an ashtray. Oh, the lighter, right? The lighter.
Yeah, it's the lighter too, because you get the lighter port.
Right.
If you get the lighter there, you get a little plug, and now that's your 12-volt outlet.
Okay. Now, does the lighter it can't share the same thing as the outlet, right? It does?
It does, yeah. Actually, you can still plug a 12-volt extension cord into it if you wanted to.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. The smoker's kit, everybody. You learn something, lose something new every day. Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
All right. Take care here. Hey, hold on. Tom Appel is here, 312-981-7200. Talk and text any and all car-related questions. We got more stories to talk about as well. The news is up next. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. And, it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, yeah. 2 Tuesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. Also, call or text right now with any and all automotive-related questions because Tom Appel is here. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you all about the schedule for all the TV movies and Christmas specials and TV specials and holiday shows for the upcoming month leading up to New Year's Eve. And we'll give you all that. And we're going to play a little round of Ginger or Marianne with a whole bunch of different questions where you have to choose one over the other. That's coming up as well. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And let's welcome Tom back to the show. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Tesla unveils the world's fastest production car and an electric truck.
They did.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. So Tesla, which is having a very hard time producing Model 3s, they don't even want to talk about that anymore because Elon Musk is always moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And he somehow magically so far has managed to get the other stuff to work while he's distracting people. but the stuff is never quite smoke and mirror, right? He always ends up actually building this stuff. So we're hoping that he could still do this because every time it seems like a greater leap of faith. But as you mentioned, he has unveiled an over-the-road 18-wheeler tractor, all electric, a branded vehicle, and big surprise, a hyper sports car, and this goes beyond supercar, that was located in the trailer of the truck that he was showing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no one knew about the sports car at all. That was a complete shock to everybody.
You know, are his like sort of press conferences always pretty crazy?
They are, because he doesn't play by any rules that anyone ever expects him to. He gives whatever information he wants to give. He withholds other information. He gently mocks the rest of the industry. And the miracle of this is that he's still in business. So
it's amazing. Now, we were talking on your last visit, Tom.
Yes.
We were talking about the charging of electric cars.
Yeah.
You know, what was your advice on that? How the hell do you charge an 18-wheeler? How long does that take?
That's a great question. And he's talking about Tesla already has the fastest chargers in the world, and they're Tesla branded, and they're out there. And if you own a Tesla, you can use these chargers, and they're proprietary. They don't work on other cars. And they're much faster than what we normally call level three DC fast charging. Mm-hmm. So they allow you to charge a Tesla, a Model S 100, for example, 100 kilowatt hour battery, mostly charge in about 20 minutes. So it's a super fast charge. It's insane. But he's saying that he can charge this truck with 500 miles of range. He can get you about 400 miles of charge in just 30 minutes.
Oh, man.
Insane amount of energy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And the question is the actual infrastructure, just the national infrastructure, would it support that sort of charging? Because that's just a lot of electricity at one place at one time.
Absolutely. So he has this little roadster in the back of the truck. Nobody knows about it.
Right.
And then did they drive it out? Or
yes.
Wow. Where did this take place?
This is out in L.A., mm-hmm. Where he does a lot of this stuff. Was it L.A. or was it Las Vegas? I can't remember, but it was out West Coast.
Okay.
And he does a lot of this stuff. And it's not – mostly people don't fly to it. He does a big reveal, and you can watch it online, the streaming video. And, the car completely shocked everyone. So nice job keeping a secret. That's awesome.
That's pretty great. Now, so the car itself –
yes,
it's electric as well.
Yes, and he's calling it the Roadster. And he had once produced the very first Tesla automobile. Actually, was a small Roadster based on a Lotus platform. And it was a great little car. This isn't the Roadster in that it's not really a convertible, so the name's a little bit misleading. But it's actually a four-place sports car with a claimed top speed of 250 miles an hour, a 0-60 time. And this doesn't even make sense anymore. Of 1.9.
Jeez.
Well, or just five times faster than a RAV4. If you just want to put some perspective on it.
Who's this car for?
I don't know. I want to drive one at least briefly, but that's crazy.
That is so crazy. All right, well, you got an 18-wheeler, and you got a little Roadster, and I'm not sure who – well, the Roadster, the truck sounds like a good idea.
It's a good idea for short haul. The 500-mile range doesn't really work. In regular over-the-road trucking, that's a little short. And then having to wait half an hour to recharge it isn't practical for most truckers. But for local short-haul work, it could be excellent.
Yeah, okay. Interesting story. All right. Hey, Tom, you know, you mentioned you'd like to drive it. What have you been driving lately? What have you guys been driving over there at Consumer Guide?
Oh, wow. I just got into something today brand new. I was really excited. I'm driving the Range Rover Velar. I think everyone knows that everything's going crossover now, and Range Rover just slotted a new vehicle into its lineup. So they have the big Range Rover, the mid-sized Range Rover Sport, and now the Velar, which slots between the Sport and above something called the Evoque, which is their subcompact crossover. So I'm driving that right now. Beautiful little crossover. It's like a compact crossover. It's about the size of a Toyota RAV4. But it costs four times as much money. Uh-huh. The cabin is beautiful. The exterior is super sleek. I love the way it looks. It immediately looks like a Range Rover, but it looks a little bit like a sports car, too. It's a little bit lower. Lots of blackout trim. So far, I love it.
Okay. Who else? What else have you guys been driving? And any good reports?
Yeah, I just spent the full week with the Chevy Bolt with a B, their pure electric vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed my time in that. Yeah, just really excited by how well that worked. We were it was really cold during the period we have it, but we were still getting about 200 miles of range. So as promised, quick, fun, affordable, really like it.
Okay, very cool. All right, we got some texts coming in, Tom.
Okay.
630 area code says, I am told there is an addictive put in diesel fuel, an additive put in diesel fuel during the winter to keep it from gelling up. Which is similar to freezing. However, I heard it significantly reduces fuel mileage. Is that true?
I have not heard that anything done to prevent gelling, which is what used to happen to diesel engines, reduces fuel economy. But that used to be a really serious problem, where when it got cold, wax or paraffin would accumulate in the fuel and clog up the fuel lines. And that's not a problem you've heard about for about 20 years anymore.
Okay. 815 area code says, I'm looking to replace my F-250 SD. I'm looking for something more economical like a Toyota Tundra or a Ram. Both need to be 4x4 models.
Yeah, well, if you're, he's looking at, he had a 3/4-ton vehicle, which is pretty heavy duty. Looks like he's looking to go down to a half-ton vehicle. Our favorites in that class are the Chevy Silverado and the Ram 1500. Both great vehicles, very livable, very refined. I would drive both of them because they have their pros and cons, and truck guys could be pretty specific.
And how much are they going to be dropping on that?
Right now, a loaded pickup's about 40 grand.
40 grand, okay.
Yeah.
All right, another text came in. Tom's 312 area code seems like most of the new cars are now moving away from onboard GPS. Instead, they are using your cell phone GPS and integration instead. Why? Is that for reliability or other reasons?
Wow, that's a great question, and there's a couple of reasons. One is there's Apple CarPlay and Android Auto that work really well with your cell phone, so you can use whatever mapping system you like on your phone. But the big thing is you don't want a system in your car that's going to become dated very quickly, whereas your phone system can be updated all the time. So instead of charging you through that, you just kind of use a pass-through system. So if you buy a car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay, it's just always going to work, and it works really well. That said, you can still buy most midsize and larger or more expensive vehicles with an onboard navigation system if you want to.
Okay. Hey, Dan, the car that you guys just bought in the within the last year,
yes,
does it have an onboard GPS?
Our Town and Country does have it.
Does it work well?
Yeah. You know, we find, you know, kind of similar to the texter's question, we find that the apps on our phones are better because those have the traffic built into them. And so they will shy us away from certain routes based upon the traffic, whereas the one that's on board is just more of the standard GPS that's just like, here's how to get to point A, point B, but doesn't indicate traffic.
Do you find yourself using the phones over the...
We do use the phones primarily.
And it's obvious, and you have the option for both in that car.
Right. And we could plug our phones into it and display it on the screen, but most times we just keep it on our phones and go that
way. Well, wow, you can plug it in and watch it on the screen?
Yep.
Man, oh, man, you know, the future. All right, one more text question before we break, and we'll come back and talk more. 815 area code says, Tesla recently unveiled their sports coupe and reported 0 to 60. Well, here we go. Here we go. Listen to this question, Tom. I'm sorry. This has been sitting in front of me, I swear to you, on the board in front of me, and I haven't looked at it. And we had this conversation, but here was the question that the 815 area code says. Tom, you ready?
Yep.
Tesla recently unveiled their sport coupe and reported at a reported 0 to 60 in a time of 1.9 seconds. Has Tom driven it yet?
No one has driven it.
Except for the guy who drove it out of the truck.
Right. And I don't think he went 0 to 60.
He did not. Boy, that would have been some kind of presentation, right?
That's a press conference.
All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us, Consumer Guide Automotive. It's consumerguide.com, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Any and all of your car-related questions, talk or text 312-981-7200. We shall return. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? Two for Tuesday, everybody. Here, man, two for Tuesday. Coming up, get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. Also, you can call that number or text that number with any and all car-related questions. Tom Appel, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, joins us once a month. I always enjoy Tom's visits and answers questions and talks about automotive stories. And, Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get to a couple more texts, I want to talk about this story that you wrote about the cars of the movie Metropolis.
Yes.
Of course, classic film, Fritz Lang. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm going to watch it again based upon your piece that you wrote about it. What was it that made you want to write this?
Yeah, I have loved this movie since I became aware of it. As a kid, I used to watch Channel 11, and part of their self-promotion spots that they do on the hour included scenes of the robot. So I was just always aware of this movie.
Yeah.
And then I finally saw it. It was everything I could have hoped. It is dark, and it is strange, and it is wonderful. And there's just something about retrofuturism that really gets me.
Yeah.
And every time I've watched this movie, as a guy that loves science fiction and a guy that loves cars, I notice that these cars always had sort of a surfboard shape to the roof, and I always just figured that Fritz Lang was crazy and was trying to figure out how to make old cars look futuristic, which is always a problem. You know, in RoboCop, they did that with the Ford Tauruses and the Chevy Astros, where they painted them sort of a matte finish and did little things to the aerodynamic trim to make them look weird and futuristic.
Yeah.
And so Fritz Lang did this 60 years earlier. And the thing about this that I did not realize, and my daughter helped me figure this out by doing some searches on the images, this was actually a real car that Fritz Lang modeled this on. There was a car built in the early 20s. It was introduced in 1921, and it was called the Rumpler Tropfenwagen. Tropfen stands for drop, like water drop, and it was meant to be an aerodynamic car. And this is a car that every car in the movie is based on, and most of them are models. And they're hand-built crazy models of this really weird futuristic car from the 20s that was super aerodynamic. Actually, Rumpler was a guy that used to design airplanes in World War I, and he went on to design these crazy cars. and they were already out of production by the time that Fritz Lang was filming. So he had to find old versions of the car. But it's super effective in the movie, and the cars have this rounded glass and these Cyclops single headlamps, these great little fenders. And it turns out that they're actually really aerodynamic vehicles. So they were just a perfect pick for this movie.
Wow. I had no idea that they were based on, that there was a real car. How did you find that out? You just did some research?
Yeah, my daughter actually was doing reverse image searches on some of the close-up pictures from the movie, and there's not a lot written about the Rumpler because it just didn't last that long.
Right.
It was very expensive and a little strange, and the public didn't really latch onto it, so there's just not a lot of them out there. Even then, there weren't a lot of them out there, but they just looked totally awesome in this movie.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch it now based upon that and look for it. I remember, obviously, I've seen the movie a bunch of times. It's been many years. Did you ever see when they re-released it in the 80s and it was in color and it had the Giorgio Moroder soundtrack?
Yeah, I do. And I remember how weird it was that they played Here She Comes when the robot was coming to life.
Yeah. Very strange. All right, I'll go back and watch that. You can get that piece. That's available on the Daily Drive blog, correct, that piece?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Cars of Metropolis. It's funny that you mentioned RoboCop. Are there other movies where they, futuristic movies? I mean, the new Batman movie, don't they, I think, like, they modernize some of the cars in the new Justice League movie.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, a good example, too, is the most recent Bond film actually used a concept car that Aston Martin was working on.
Yeah.
That never actually became a model, so it's kind of a one-off car that was near future. So you see a lot of concept cars get action in movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that, because the original Blade Runner, Tom, it takes place in less than 2 years. That movie takes place in 2019, and we're still not flying around.
No, we're not.
the vehicles in Blade Runner are awesome. Have you seen the new one, the new Blade Runner?
I haven't, but someone pointed out that one of the vehicles is branded Peugeot.
Yes, it is. I noticed that, man. It's great. By the way, are you a fan of Blade Runner?
I really like the original movie, and I know I need to see this.
You got to see the new one, man. It's great. It's great. And I hold Blade Runner near the top of, you know, my list of sci-fi movies.
So. Yeah, I need to see this. I really like the original.
Very cool. All right, here's Todd with a question on WGN. Hey, Todd.
Hey, I'm thinking about buying a 2010 Subaru Forester, Tom, and I'm just wondering what you might think of that car.
Oh, I love the Forester. Great way to go. You know, all of them are all-wheel drive, so you don't have to think about that, but they tend to last forever. And I know this because my father has one and has not managed to destroy it.
Oh, wow. What year is this?
That's way back. It's actually 1999.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it held up.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go, Todd.
Okay.
Take care, buddy.
All right, cool.
Okay, cool. Before we get to our final texts, I want to get to, because it's, you know, people are going to, the holiday shopping has begun, and you wrote a piece about the Car Guy Gift Guide.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, and what's cool stuff to buy for the car guys?
Yeah, there's things that car guys just like, and one of them is flashlights. I'm all about flashlights, and I specifically recommend mag lights because they're kind of expensive and kind of cool, and they feel heavy duty. Love mag lights.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple of car movies that I was really recommending for people if they don't have them on Blu-ray. And it's just a couple of classic racing movies out there that people should really think about buying for guys that they know love car guy stuff. But Grand Prix with James Garner.
Sure.
Or Bullet with Steve McQueen, or Le Mans with Steve McQueen. These are great movies.
Yeah.
And a Blu-ray, they look fantastic.
You know, you mentioned one of my favorite 70s car movies, and that's Vanishing Point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a great movie. And the car in Death Proof, that in the Quentin Tarantino movie, Death Proof,
yes,
is the same car from Vanishing Point, is it not? Is the same model?
Oh, that's right. I think, yeah, both are Challengers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. When they're both white.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great movie. And then you put the Blues Brothers in there as well.
Yep, love that movie.
Okay. How about the touchless car wash gift card or book? Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, the suburbs especially are filled with these great touchless car washes, all of which sell books of car washes really cheap. So that's just a great stocking stuffer. And I usually get those for my wife.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we can get like five really good washes for $25, something like that. So that's a great way to go.
Okay. And how about the hand wax and detail?
You know, there are places like along Irving Park and a couple places out here where I live in Palatine where these privately owned hand detailing shops, They sell gift cards, and you can get a car like completely detailed for $50, or if you want to go crazy, $200, you know, and they'll rip the car apart. But these are great things to do for people who have don't get around to cleaning their car very often.
Yeah. I live on Irving Park, Tom.
Okay.
And not too far from where the stretch of car village starts. That stretch with all the car places and the detailing and the dealerships and everything. It's very, very cool. All right, let's see. 815 area code says, Tom, can you tell me what's out there now that's comparable to a Chevy Trailblazer?
Wow, the Chevy Trailblazer was a mid-sized body-on-frame SUV, not a crossover. It was actually really a truck, and there's not a lot out there like that anymore. The closest thing is the Toyota 4Runner, which is a traditional SUV. That's still out there. Great vehicle. Not good on gas, but very reliable, very easy to drive, very refined. So that's a good way to go.
Okay. Peter in Decatur, our buddy, sends in a text that says, when the list dimensions, what is the width? That is it wheelbase or body including side mirrors? I ask because my garage opening is very narrow.
Width should include the mirrors.
Oh,
So the mirror is deployed, and that should usually start around 70 inches and then go to about 80 inches, depending on the vehicle.
Okay. Before we get out of here, remind everybody that they can sign up for the newsletter, and you've changed that so that people can just sign up.
Yeah. If you want to get to our weekly newsletter, we'll send you everything that we just added to the website in the past 7 days. Just go to either one of our websites, consumerguide.com or cgdailydrive.com. Go to contact us, and you could literally just put sign me up.
All right. That's it.
I'll get you on the list.
There you go. Tom, always a pleasure. And we will talk to you in December. People can check you out on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Always a pleasure, Tom. Have a great month.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Take care. Tom Appel, everybody. com_guy_Tom. car_guy_Tom. And consumerguide.com. All right. We're going to take a break. And we got the news coming up in just a couple of minutes.